Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadi Dalid, and we're holding on daf Tzadi Gimel, Amud Beit. And the last thing that we had opened up the discussion about was, what is the halacha if there is a collapse of the door that was between the two chatzeros, or there's a collapse of the window through which they had made the joint Eruv? And the question was over there, what would be the din if there's a change, we wanted to know, in the relationship during Shabbos. And so we found out that actually Rabbah had once asked this very question from Rav Huna and from Rav Yehuda, and they said that it all depends at the beginning of Shabbos. Whatever the situation was at the beginning of Shabbos, that's what you're allowed to do during Shabbos as well. So now we got up to three lines up from the bottom, last word on the line of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, and we're discussing a similar case, which is a kotel shebein shtei chatzerot shenafal. So over here we have the opposite, where the wall collapsed and now made the two separate chatzerot into one. But they don't have one Erev. They only have two separate Erevs. So Rav says nobody can carry anything in there. And the reason is very simple. Remember that Rav, he holds that if there were kelim in the bayit that were brought outside, then even Rabbi Shimon, who says you're always allowed to carry from any chatzar to any other chatzar, as long as it's not something that was in the house, remember that Rav said that's only true if there wasn't an Erev. But if there had been an Erev, so then we're always afraid that there's going to be money debatim, there's going to be kelim from the houses in the chatzar, and therefore you're not allowed to carry. So now we've got a double problem over here, because since really both of them are now unable to carry, because they both had an Erev, they were able to bring their stuff into their joint rishos, and now the wall collapsed, now they're kulay porutz into an area that was once theirs. And because of that, says Rav, look, l'shitati, I don't hold that everything goes according to the beginning of the Shabbos, so he does not buy into Hoav Hutra Hutra, and once I don't buy into it, now we've got a really serious problem, because now that it's all one chatzar, both of these rishios aser one on the other, and don't try to tell me that no, they don't, because you're allowed to carry from any chatzar to any other chatzar, because the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and I will answer you, you're right, except that in this case there was an Erev before, and therefore the yard is full of stuff that was in the house. And I hold that whenever there's things that were in the house, then even Rabbi Shimon was never matir. So forget it. According to me, you can't carry here at all. According to Shmuel says, what's the problem? First of all, Shmuel says, I hold of Hoav Hutra Hutra. So there's no issue. Secondly, I do not believe, as you recall from yesterday, that there is a problem, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, if there was an Erev and people brought things out from the house, you just have to be careful not to carry those things into another chatzar. So what's the big deal? Everybody can carry up to where they used to carry, even kelim that were of the bayit, and kelim that were not in the bayit, well, anyway, you're allowed to carry all over town if you want, even in places that you didn't have an Erev, which, as long as you just carry from one chatzar to another, or according to Rabbi Shimon, from a chatzar to a gag, a karfaf, etc., like they actually used to do when they needed to bring a towel to where they were taking a bath on a swim on Shabbos. So no problem at all, says Shmuel. So zemetal talat ikar mechitz, as far as the things that were in the house, you can even carry those. But I mean, you can't carry it past the place where you would have carried it before the wall collapsed. Okay, but just carry it up to there. Why not? And the other people on the other side of the currently invisible and non-extant wall, they can carry from their house up till there. You just can't carry things from the houses across the invisible wall. Now, the truth is, Rav didn't say beferish this stuff. So, how did Rav la beferish it? Now, Rav never actually said beferish what he holds about the din of Shabbat Hoav Hutra Hutra, you see. But we figured it out from what happened once. Because it once happened that actually Rav and Shmuel were sitting in a chutzar together, and all of a sudden the wall collapsed. Now, this was a chutzar which originally had an Erev for itself, and the next door chutzar had an Erev for itself. So Shmuel was there, and Shmuel said, okay, bring a coat and spread the coat out over the current hole in the wall, right? So now there's no problem. That's what we think it means anyway. And Rav was very upset about that because he said, what do you mean bring a coat? You're not allowed to carry the coat because you're not allowed to move outside of your Arba Amos, according to Rav, because even Rabbi Shimon would hold that you have money to bottom here, and we don't say Shabbos, so we're going to do a Trahutra. So Rav turned his face away, apparently in disgust. Oh, I don't believe it. So Shmuel said to the people in the Chatzar, well, looks like Rav's got some problems. I would say take off his belt and hang up the coat with his belt. Ha, ha, ha. We'll teach him a lesson. If he doesn't like it, let him support it. Anyway, so apparently Rav was not in a very good mood about this din of Hova Hutra Hutra. So that's where we figured out that it would be not according to Rav Svara. So wait a minute. But according to Shmuel, why did he have to put a coat or anything over anything? I thought Shmuel said, even if the wall is completely gone, it fell. He said, doesn't matter. You pretend it's still there. And every side can carry up to the bottom of the invisible wall, to where it was before. So why do we need a coat? No, Shmuel didn't need the coat. Shmuel just didn't want to be exposed to the people in the other chatzar, so he just told people, listen, do me a favor, cover it over, will you? I don't need to see these guys. Anyway, so the point is that only Rav wasn't saying that he disagrees about the coat being meaningful. That isn't the issue. He held you weren't allowed to move the coat because you're not allowed to carry. So why did Rav have to tippy-toe around the issue? I mean, well, Rav's afraid of telling Shmuel that he disagrees. He turns his head away. I mean, Rav, if he holds it's Osir, he should have said, hey, you're not allowed to do that. No, you don't understand. This Chatzar was in a city in which Shmuel was the Rav of the city. So, I mean, Rav wasn't going to interfere in things that were going on in Shmuel's city. So you didn't want to tell him anything. Well, so then if he didn't want to tell him anything, why did he turn his aside in disgust? I mean, so if you're having Derech Eretz, I mean, obviously he made his point because Shmuel says, yeah, well, take off his belt. I mean, so obviously it wasn't the nicest thing, and Shmuel felt a need to establish the authority over there. No, but he had no choice. He didn't turn aside in disgust, but he needed to turn aside to show that he didn't agree. That is mechuyev to do because the lo neimru kishmuel svirale. People would make the mistake. The Talmidim of Rav would say, oh, Rav apparently agrees with Shmuel because he didn't protest. So he felt he needed to protest, but it wasn't appropriate to argue. So he didn't argue. He said, listen, I understand. Shmuel is the authority over here. Obviously, you'll listen to him. I just don't want to have any part of it. That's all. And we're ready for Sir Richard. Thank you, Sir Richard. Chotzer. Shenifritzel Rishut Rabbi. So now we're talking about changes that take place on Shabbos. Now you'll note that the whole way that this began was because we were looking at our Mishnah, the original Mishnah, which talked about where there was a Chotzer that ended up being Nifritza. We thought that it meant it was Nifritza on Shabbos. So we had to say over there, who's to say that it's talking about Nifritza on Shabbos? Okay, now we're moving into this whole sugya of what, in fact, is the din if there's a change in the status of an Erev on Shabbos. Now, there's two ways that there could be a change in the status of the Erev. There's a change in the status of the Erev in terms of diurin, meaning who lives where, so that we could have a separation of the two chatzeros, or we could have a breaking apart. The two chatzeros now become one, but that doesn't have anything to do with the din of Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah or anything else. That affects the diurin and only the diurin. There's other ways that things can change, and that is that a mechitza changes, a din and a mechitza in terms of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. That could be a completely different situation. And if that changes on Shabbos, then we do not necessarily say that Shabbat kiven shehutra hutra, certainly not when there's a change in the actual din d'oraisa, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. So if you recall, earlier in the Masechet, back in the first parak, we thought that the two were similar. And we actually started bringing up this Mishnayos that we're going to have today, as if they're all talking about the same thing. It was there that the Gemara first made the distinction. If you remember, this is the first, that was the first place that we made a fuss over that distinction. To constantly remember that Shabbos and Erevin are not the same issue. So our first question is, what would be the din if a chatzer changes and it gets broken down, the wall breaks down between it and the Rishus HaRabim? So then we've got originally a chatzer that was completely surrounded, right? So it's got its walls on all sides. It's got its door that now opens up to the Rishus HaRabim. And all of a sudden, it doesn't have a door to Rishus HaRabim. The whole wall alongside the Rishus HaRabim has collapsed. Okay. I mean, when we say the whole wall, obviously it could mean more than 10 amas. But the point is, it's no longer, it's porous into the Rishus HaRabim. So now, according to Reb Eliezer, what Reb Eliezer seems to be saying is rather drastic. And that is that anybody who takes something, mitocha, anyone carries something from this chotzer into a Rishus HaYochid, or from another Rishus HaYochid into this chotzer, is chayev, because this chotzer has turned into a Rishus HaRabim. Now that is drastic. I mean, because before we said that if you've got some area that is enclosed on three sides, it's already not a Rishus HaRabim by definition. So how could he say you'd be chayev? Now in the end, the Gemara is going to work out that actually what Reb Eliezer was talking about was the area of the wall, where the wall used to stand. So the wall was right up against the Rishus HaRabim. And now the wall has collapsed. So the question is the area of the wall considered to be a part of the Rishus HaRabim? Later on, we're going to discuss the language of the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah is Masha Mitocha. Anywhere from within this Chatzar to Rishus HaYochid, it's going to turn out that that's not what was meant. The Chachomim Omrim. Now, this is a very strange Mishnah. Instead of the Chachomim simply arguing on Reb Eliezer, which is what you would expect, in which case they would talk about the same case, what would be the din of someone who brings from a Rishus HaYochid? Instead, they seem to change the topic. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain why in the world they seem to be changing the topic. So the Chachomim say, no, if you move from inside this Chatzar to the Rishus HaRabim, that wasn't what Reb Eliezer was talking about. He was talking about moving to Rishus HaYochid. Okay, that's the problem. If you would move into Rishus HaRabim, or you would bring from the Rishus HaRabim into this chatzer, would you be chayev? No. You'd be potter. Because this chatzer has the din of a carmelite. It does not have the din of Rishut HaYochid. So, like, this is really weird. It sounds like Reb Eliezer is saying, well, this chatzer has the din of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore can't bring from Rishus HaYochid. And all of a sudden, the Rabbanan say, this area has a din of a carmelite, and therefore you can't carry from Rishus HaRabim, which is not what Reb Eliezer was talking about. All to be discussed. The first question, the obvious question is, just because a wall collapses, how in the world does that give the Rabbim the right to move into Rishus HaRabim? Remember that we had a very firmly established idea early on that if you own the area, and there's a way for you to prevent the Rabbim from entering this area, then if all it takes is for you to lower a gate or put up a no trespassing sign, then there is no way that something could be a Rishus HaRabim, because the Rabbim don't have rights to walk there. So by definition, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. So what in the world is Reb Eliezer saying? Mishum Nifritzel Rishus HaRabim, Havelim Rishus HaRabim, just because wall collapse? Now all of a sudden Rishus HaRabim, they have a right to call it their own? Yes, this is Reb Eliezer L'shitotot. D'tanya, Reb Yudal Mer Mishum Reb Eliezer, in a case where a rabbim have taken over a road for themselves, claiming that they have the rights to this road and they want to use it, there's nothing to do about it. You can't chase them out. You can't put up a no trespassing sign. And that's what happened over here. See, well, that's ridiculous. That's not true. Reb Gidel Omer Rav explained that obviously it doesn't mean that this is extrajudicial. What, they could just walk over and take over your property? It's talking about over there. Where did Reb Eliezer mean it? Where what happened was that there used to be a public road that went through this area. Okay, now it got overgrown, And the owner claims that the public road was on the northern side, and the public claims that, no, it was on the southern side. And then the public goes in, and they take over the southern side. So there, Rebbe Eliezer says, look, since they have a valid legal claim to a road in this area, you don't own the whole area. So then we have a clause that when a rabbim takes over an area, you can't lock them out, because you can't say this is definitely yours. So what does that have to do with here, where it was definitely yours? I understand. The wall collapsed. Now the rabbim are walking in, chased it out. And if you're going to tell me, v'chitema, that maybe here too it's talking about that the area where the wall was, the rabbim claim is actually their part. So in other words, what happened over here is that just like in that case, the road was overgrown. In this case, after the wall collapsed, it's no longer clear where the wall was. Anybody who's been in an area where there's significant public works will note that they cannot reconstruct what the place used to look like before the work was done, right? That's like, it's an amazing phenomenon. Like, oh my gosh, it doesn't look anything like it used to look. So now the rabbim are claiming that the area that this guy says, no, this is where my wall was. And the rabbim are saying, no, it's not. Your wall was further in. This area was part of the Rishus HaRabim, and we have a right to walk there. So you'll say, that's what we're talking about in this case, right? And so since the rabbim asserted their right and took it over, then Rebbe Eliezer is going, l'shitato, that once a rabbim takes over an area, there's nothing to do about it, right? No, that can't be, because Rabbi Hanina said, when he was explaining the Mishnah, that the only machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is the area of the Chatzar up till where the wall was, which is mashma that where the wall was, actually the Chachamim agree. No, that can't be. What Rabbi Hanina must have said was that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only on the area where the wall was, meaning about where the wall was. So this guy claims my wall was here, and the rabbim say, no, your wall was further in. So this is like a classic situation where Rebbe Eliezer says, if there's legal rights, and the question is where the legal rights are, so then the rabbim have a right to take it over if they do. Okay, maybe there's an alternative, which is, v'yibayis hema, we might be talking about something entirely different. Let's say, given that they're only arguing about the area of the wall, like we just decided, they might be arguing about something else. It might be that B'tzidei Rishus HaRabim Kamiflagei. The din of B'tzidei Rishus HaRabim would be even in a case where there is no argument about who owns what. Let's imagine the normal case where people own property that abuts a major thoroughfare. Now, most normal people do not want to walk out of their house directly onto a sidewalk or a street. So what they do is they pull the wall of the house back into the rishus a few feet, so that then when they come out, they have a little bit of an area that's their own. Now, that area is usually left alone, but if there's a lot of traffic and the sidewalks are crowded, then people will naturally be pushed into the area that's closer to the house. That's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. And of course, the entire sidewalk area that's made out of this is also called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. But maybe the issue over here is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that since the rabbim can expand into this area when the traffic is heavy, that gives it a din of Rishus HaRabim. Because that's the machlokes that we have. What's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? And the Rabbanan argue, and they say Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is not Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so that would be the machlokes. And it wouldn't have anything to do with the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer about necessarily the Mishnah needing to talk about an argument about the legalities of where the wall was. We know where the wall was, and that's not the point. Wait a minute. So then, I mean, why would we need such a complicated case of a wall that collapsed, now the rabbim expand? If you're telling me that there's a machlokas about Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, darn it, so just argue about what's the din of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. I mean, why create this wild case? No. You see, because normally Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are well defined as Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. How is this? Simple. When people pull back They certainly make sure that you're not going to have buses and 18-wheelers that are going to be within an inch of their house in the case that there's too much traffic, right? So what do? They do what you see all over today. Let's say you're walking from Shar Yafo and you're coming down the street into the old city, right? So what do you view you got? You've got these little pieces of cement or poles that make sure that cars can't just come up against the buildings. And in fact, every place where they don't have a pole like that, and you look at the wall is shaved away by the buses that have shaved away the pole, the walls by rubbing against the walls, which is exactly why we put these things there, right? So therefore, normal Tidei Rishus HaRabim have what are called chifufei, rubbing poles. So if they would have argued about the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, I would have said, okay, you know why it is that Rebbe Eliezer argues over here and the Rabbana don't agree? That's because there are chifufei. And since there are chifufei, it's clearly not a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rabbana say, look, there's no way for traffic to come in here. What are they going to do about their poles and the cones that are there? In this case, where you have the wall collapse, there are no chifufei. So maybe in this case, even the chachamim would be made. So because of that, Kamash Malan, the Mishnah creates a case where there's clearly no chifufei because it was just a collapsed wall. And Afal Pikein, we have a machlokas as to whether it's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim or not. Okay, so now we have two possibilities. According to both of these possibilities, we are talking about a machlokas about the wall area, not about the actual chutzer area, where over there, since it's got three mechitzas, nobody dreamt to call it a Rishus HaRabim. We're only talking about the actual wall, where then it's like an extension of the street. We know that that kind of thing could be a Rishus HaRabim because we have the din of Chorei Rishus HaRabim, right? Anything that is used directly by the Rabim becomes, even if it's like a shelf or a hole in the wall, becomes part of Rishus HaRabim. Okay, and that's a reasonable machlok. There's only one problem. The language of the Mishnah does not support this. Because the language of the Mishnah has Rebbe Eliezer saying, anyone who carries mitocha, what do you think mitocha means? From the wall? Mitocha is referring to the whole area inside, right? From inside. Now, why would he say from inside if you're right that he's only arguing about the wall? V'hamitocha ka'ama. Now, look, he was just wanted to make a point as far as the Chachamim are concerned. The Chachamim were talking about carrying mitocha to Rishus HaRabim, right? So he uses also that same word. Yeah, well, I got news for you. The Chachamim make no sense at all. Why would the Chachamim say the word mitocha? That's crazy. Now they're talking across purposes. He's talking about bringing in from Rishus a yochid into the area of the wall, and now the Chachamim start talking about carrying into Rishus a rabim from the area of the chutz. I mean, it's insane. How do two people talking in the same mishnah about cases that are completely irrelevant to each other? Why did they start talking about mitocha? Nah, you missed the point. They weren't coming to argue on Rebbe Eliezer. They were coming to bring a proof to Rebbe Eliezer. What they were trying to say to Rebbe Eliezer was like this. Look, Rebbe Eliezer, don't you agree that in the event that somebody would have carried from actually inside the chutz itself into the Rishus HaRabim or from the Rishus HaRabim into the chutz, would you say he's chayev? Of course not. You would say that what we've got over here is essentially a carmelite, because it's broken open, and even if it is Rishus HaYochid D'Oraisa, it still would have a din over here of a Carmelite. Now, that's a problem, because then he would be Chayev, right? So we've got a lot of different approaches as to why this is. Remember, a Carmelite is a very confusing term, because a Carmelite can mean you can't carry within it, and we give it the Chumras of Rishus HaRabim, where it would still have the actual dinim of the Rishus HaYochid D'Oraisa. And that if you were Zorek Latocha, you'd be Chayev. So what we're talking about over here is that it's actually Potter from Rishus HaRabim to here, and that raises all kinds of red flags, which is what the Chachamim are talking about. What exactly is the situation that turned this into it's not even being a Rishus HaRabim? This is the subject of a lot, Rishus HaYochid D'Oraisa, subject of a lot of discussion in Rishonim, and even a lot of Girsa changes. So, okay, we'll leave that hanging because it's beyond our Daf Yomi scale, but note the problem. So what they were trying to say was, look, obviously this entire chutz, the inside, I know you're not talking about the inside of the chutz. I understand. But tell me what you would say about the inside of the chutz. You would certainly agree that it's a karmelis, right? So now, why is the place where the wall, which is the tzidei rishus harabim, any different? It's all part of the rishus of the chutzer. And Rebbe Eliezer says it is not, because in there, lokadar sila rabim, the rabim don't go into the whole chutzer, but they do move into the area where the wall was, and ocha kadar sila rabim, and that gives it a din of rishus harabim. So at least now we make better sense of what appeared to be talking across purposes. And this brings us to our Richie. Yes. Well, I thought it... Ah, here he is. So, continuing on into yet another case of a collapsed wall in a chutzer. So here we have a chutzer where the wall collapsed, but it collapsed on two ends, so two sides. And now it's there's a question over here, again, as I pointed out before, about the girsa. Does it say l'rishus harabim or not? In the Gemara later on, doesn't say anything about l'rishus harabim, and l'rishus harabim creates problems, as we'll explain later. And it's mashma, and as Tosfos asserts, that the Mishnah is not talking about the rishus harabim. It's talking about into the mavui or so on its sides. But it does not have a din of a chutzer any longer. Same thing would be true of a home. A home where two of its walls collapsed. Now, it doesn't make sense to talk about two walls, because there's no difference between one wall and two walls. As the Gemara is going to explain, two walls mean a corner that affected two walls. That makes a difference. We'll see why. We've seen why in the past, but we'll see why again. So don't let this confuse you for now. Right now, the Gemara thinks it really means two walls, as if there's some magic about two walls. Okay, so if a chutzer had two walls that fell, a house has two walls that fell, or a mavoi with a korah or the lechi, it should say korah or lechayo, not lechayav, fell down on Shabbos, it's okay. You're allowed to carry there during Shabbos. Now, again, this is not nogea, the machlokas that we had before about Shabbos kivan shehutra hutra. That's because what we're talking about now is not the change in diurin. We're talking about over here a change in mechitzes. The Gemara asked way back in the first perek whether this is the same machlokas that we have with Rav and Shmuel or Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda that Rabbah had asked, right? And the Gemara makes it very clear, no. There are two different issues. One is the issue of diurin, and when there were considered to be one chutzer vis-a-vis the din of Erevin, and one is the din of mechitzes. So let's not worry about the relationship directly to the machlokas that we just had. So according to the Tanna Kamma, you're allowed to continue carrying on that Shabbos, but you can't do it in the future. You have to fix whatever broke. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, there's no such thing. Look, one Shabbos is the same as any other Shabbos. If you hold its mutter, so then it's mutter forever. If you hold its usher in the next Shabbos, then it's usher for this Shabbos. And we'll see that that means Rabbi Yossi holds that it's usher on both Shabbatot, not that it should be mutter, even though he phrased it that way. So the first thing that worries us is what difference is there between a collapse on one side of a building or on two sides of a building? What, first of all, how much of the wall collapsed? I mean, if you're talking about 10 amos or less, who cares? 10 amos or less are not considered to be a collapsed wall. It's not porous. It's considered to be an opening. And I don't care if it's 10 amos or less on one side or two sides or three sides. It's a valid gateway. So why would it make a difference? Ma'ishami ruach achat. Why is it okay on one side? Because you're saying it's an opening, right? Okay, so on two sides it's not. It's also an opening. Therefore, you have to be talking about that it's more than 10 amas. If it's more than 10 amas, then even on one side, it's now wrecked the chotzer or wrecked the house because it's completely porut to an area that's chotzer for it. So I don't get the case. Omarav, no. We're talking about 10 amas or less than 10 amas. And that's the point. The only reason that we don't view it as a petach is because when the Mishnah said two walls, it didn't mean two facing walls. It meant the corner of two adjacent walls. And there we have a special halacha that where you have a 10, even less than 10 amma break in a corner, that's considered to be a problem because normal people don't make doors in corners. So pitcha bekeren zavit lo avdi inche. And because of that, we view it as a broken wall rather than as a petach. That's the problem. Ah, okay. Let's take the next case. A house. So what's the case in the house where the house had broken walls on different sides? How is that? Why on one side is it okay? I'm assuming on one side it's okay because there's still a roof. If there's still a roof, so then we say, Pi tikra yored v'sotem. The edge of the roof will cover over that whole area. Okay. You say the same thing from two sides, don't you? Isn't the din of Pi tikra yored v'sotem true, whether it's on one side of the house or on two sides of the house? So what's the difference? Mishtei ruchot nami lema Pi tikra yored v'sotem. So again, I don't understand what's going on. So over here, Rav is quoted again, saying, we're talking about a case where the house had a collapsed wall in a corner, and even though it was less than 10 amas, it's the same issue. But here the problem is, why don't we say that the Pi tikra yored v'sotem? Because here it has nothing to do with whether we view it. The chotzer didn't have a roof, but a house has a roof. And therefore, the roof of that house should be able to be a valid mechitza, right? Ah, so it's talking about over here that the house has a roof which is made on an angle, like many roofs are made in order to have the water flow off of the roof instead of a flat roof. And in a case where the kiruyo, the roofing, is at an angle, we don't say Pi tikra yored v'sotem. Shmuel says, no, this is not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about where you've got a gap of more than 10 amos, okay? And if you'll ask me, as you asked Rav, so what's the difference if it's on one side or two sides? Even on one side, you're right. Even on one side, it's true, would be enough. But the reason we talked about two sides is because since one of the two cases discussed in the Mishnah was the case of the house, and in the house, it does make a difference. Why does it make a difference? By it kufa, I understand. If you're talking about Pi tikra, so then you could say Pi tikra on either side. So, Mashra miruach achat armina Pi tikra yored v'sotem. Why don't you say Mishtei ruchot nami neimati Pi tikra yored v'sotem? And besides, wait a second over here. How can you tell me that Shmuel is going to say that there's a Pi tikra yored v'sotem issue on one side that some magical reason won't apply to two sides? I don't know what that is. But, I mean, there's a bigger problem. Shmuel doesn't even hold of Pi tikra yored v'sotem at all, does he? Didn't we have the case before? Just yesterday, we were talking about the sukkah, and we have the question of an achsadra babika. And Shmuel said, I don't believe that in achsadra bebika you're allowed to carry because we don't say Pi tikra yored v'sotem. Via itma achsadra bebika, rava mar mutar letartel bekula. Shmuel says, no, you can't use Pi tikra on this pergola in the middle of the whole bika, in the middle of the field, in the middle of the valley. So what's the difference if it's one side or two sides? If Shmuel doesn't know the Pi tikra, he doesn't know the Pi tikra. Boom. That's not a problem. But Shmuel doesn't hold of, this is how Rashi understands it. Tosfos disagrees all over where this comes up. Let's take Rashi's simple pshat over here. So that's not a problem because Shmuel was only arguing we're all four sides. That's, why do you think it said Aksadra Babika? What do you mean Babika? Just talk about a normal pergola up against the house, right? No, wrong. The only reason that Shmuel didn't like the Pi tikra yored v'sotem is because it has to start as a real roof to an area that's got at least one wall. That doesn't have one wall, then you can't say Pi tikra yored v'sotem. Of course he agrees there's such a thing as Pi tikra yored v'sotem. He just says, you cannot say Pi tikra yored v'sotem to enclose four sides. That's all that he said. But, I mean, if it was three sides, it would be okay. Ava b'shalot sh'itle. Okay, but all right, fine. Okay, I hear you. So he holds a Pi tikra, but then what's the difference of Pi tikra on one side or Pi tikra on two sides? If you're saying he holds even on three sides, so what difference does it make? You're saying we needed to talk about two pirtzot. Why? Because of the house. And in the house, why did you need it? Because of Pete Tikra. I thought he owns a Pete Tikra even on two sides. So what difference does it make? Well, look, didn't Rav have to say it's talking about a specific case? According to Rav, the specific case being that it was on an angle. Okay, Shmuel also, I mean, he doesn't hold it's talking about an angle, but he holds that it's talking about that there was a break in the corner, and it was a deep break. So what happened is that there was a four tfachim hole that was created in the corner. Now, please try to imagine. You're at the corner of the house, and you're looking up at the roof, and there was a break that went all the way in by four tfachim, which meant that it collapsed the ceiling over an area of four tfachim on the south side and on the east side, let's say, right? Okay. So now when you're looking up at the roof, what do you see? You see a four-cornered break in four tfachim, then five amas long, then it goes along the eastern wall for another four amas, let's say, and then there's a four tfachim hole that goes out to the outside, right? Somebody, thank you. Akiva posted a nice picture. Take a look, and it's very obvious, right? So what you've got, according to Shmuel, is an area that would require a four-phase P-Tikra Yorid Vesosim. And Shmuel doesn't hold the four phases of P-Tikra Yorid Vesosim. So by making it in a corner wall of the house, assuming that we're talking about a deep break, therefore, Shmuel says, listen, you also had to change the Mishnah by putting in parts that don't appear. You said it's talking about, all of a sudden we're talking about a roof that's at an angle. I mean, why all of a sudden are we changing our roofing? I'm saying we're talking about a deep break, okay? I think that's more reasonable than saying we're talking about roofing at an angle, all right? So whatever. So both of us have an approach to the Mishnah that works. Now, the reason they don't like each other's approach is consistent in general. Shmuel doesn't want to say what Rav was saying, that we're talking about an alachson. Because, I mean, where do we ever find alachsons unless we're spoken about? The normal roof at the time was a flat roof. Rav didn't want to say like Shmuel, because according to Rav, I don't care if you say P'tikra Yorid V'Sotem on all four sides. Why is this different than the case of the Achsadra B'Bika? So according to Rav, it would be the same of Achsadra Mutalatata B'Kula. So that doesn't give me any kind of answer. And remember, that was the famous case, Achsadra B'Bika. Rav Amar Mutalatata B'Kula, Shmuel Amar Eimetata B'Alar B'Amas. Rav Amar Mutalatata B'Kula, because we say P'tikra Yorid V'Sotem on all four sides. Shmuel says, we don't say P'tikra Yorid V'Sotem, and that's why they had to be different explanations. Now, you view this as a machlokas under all circumstances? How much of the size of a achsadra, which is basically a pergola, how big is it? So if it's only 10 amas or less on each side, so everybody agrees that there's no problem. Even Shmuel is made, because you don't have to see 10 amas as anything but a petach. Once it's a petach, then of course the area is suitable for P'tikra. The machlokas is dafka if it's more than 10 amas. Masha Inkein, there are others that learn that if it's more than 10 amas, everybody agrees that you don't say P'tikra Yorid V'Sotem. Even Rav agrees. And the machlokas is kiplige dafka be'eser. So the machlokas is that Rav is ready to say P'tikra if it's 10 or less. Shmuel says, even if it's 10 or less, you can't say P'tikra on all four sides. Well, didn't we have the case before of the Korah? We're talking about in the Churva, remember? And Rav Yehuda said, you got a Churva, and it's all busted open, but there's this beam. And this beam is four tefachim wide, and it's this long beam, and you're allowed to carry under the beam, because we say that all four sides are closed off because you've got the Korah there. And the halacha over there was, Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha says, that's true. Also, if there's water under it, you'd be allowed to carry there too, because they cover over that area and you can even draw the water. So what's it talking about? What's the problem? What's it talking about? What do you mean, what's it talking about? It depends. If you go according to the first way that we had the Yikidi Amri, and that they're not arguing about 10. So we could say over here that you say P-Tikra, it's talking about 10 or less, the car is 10 or less. So you could say P-Tikra according to everybody, so it would be Divrei HaKol. If you want to go according to the Ikeni Amri, and that they're Dafka, they're arguing in the case where it's less than 10 Amos, so then fine. So then that was talking about Rav, okay? But it's not a big deal. Tomorrow, we'll see whether this extends to some other issues that we had earlier as well.